You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla, 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 player.
It is Tuesday, June the 28th. 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwick.net. Gerwick.net, your pro wrestling source since 1997. I want to welcome you back to the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is, and it is episode 137. We've got a lot of topics to talk about today, and to help me out, I've got the crew back. The triple threat is in effect. Quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
What's going on, player?
We've got a bulk of topics to talk about. Everything breaks after our podcast. Everything broke last week. We're going to catch up today.
We definitely are. Let me go ahead and make the tag here to our tag team partner, all the way from down south. He is the former proprietor of Thuggin' and Buggin' Enterprises, a former general manager of SmackDown and ECW, Gerwick.net Hall of Famer, and future WWE Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Teddy Long. What's going on, player?
Well, everything is going on, player. Holla, 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 and I am up and ready to go.
Awesome. And Teddy, before we dive into the meat and potatoes of the show today and talk about all these interesting topics, how did the Rocky King fundraiser go yesterday?
Very good. Rocky King, you know, he's a NWA legend, wrestled back in the day, with Pistol Pez Watley and a lot of other superstars. He was part of the Freebirds one time. He was, named Lil Rich and Marley. But, to make a long story short, you know, Rocky, in case some of the people don't know, he had a real major stroke, and, right now he's on dialysis every day, and we're trying to raise money to get him a kidney. So the fundraiser yesterday involved Jeff Foxworthy. I was out there, and we was at the Collin Gate Golf Course in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and everything went nice. We don't know really how much money was collected yesterday. I left kind of early, but we're going to find that out, and I'll pass that along to you, Steve and Frank. But anyway, I thought everything went great, and right now we're still doing stuff on them to try to raise money to get that kidney, and we got some more things that are in the works, and just as soon as we finalize that, I'll pass that along to you guys, too. And thank you so much for asking about it.
I actually saw his stuff the other day on the network. Matter of fact, when he was Little Richard Marley, it was he was with the Freebirds and some other dude they had. It's when the Freebirds was actually a big faction in WCW at the time, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Definitely, you know, keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Hopefully he can get that kidney real soon. I want to mention here, we've always been plugging ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick, and today they start their 4th of July sale, 20% off everything. Just use the promo code AMERICA upon checkout, and of course we have 8 great designs. We have the Retro Raw, the Retro Nitro. I think, Frank, our best seller is still the NWO-style shirt. So definitely go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick and remember the promo code AMERICA, an extra 20% off, and our shirts are already marked down at $17.99. I'll remind everybody out there, in addition to Gerwick.net, you can find the Gerwick Report podcast on other platforms as well. You can download us on iTunes, our podcast, TuneIn Radio. You can stream us there and on Stitcher Radio. It's so nice to have one of these apps on your phone, and you can just dial up Gerwick Report Podcast, take it on your walk or take it on your hike, and stream us wherever you go. And, Frank, how are we doing on the YouTube channel?
Steve, we're consistently growing our subscriber count on the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/GerwickNet is the URL, so check it out today. Subscribe to our channel. Thumbs up the videos if you like what we're talking about. And also want to do a quick plug here. I was a recent guest on the Pro Wrestling Nation podcast with Sam Medina and my tag team partner, Adley Green, and we talked about the Roman Reigns situation. We took a trip down memory lane and talked about the Monday Night Wars back in the day. So check that out right now at Gerwick.net, as well as the brand-new edition of Breaking Raw with Adley Green and Adam Cohn, which they just talked about what happened last night on Monday Night Raw, and that's up right now, too, at Gerwick.net. And those clips will be also added to our YouTube channel. Once again, youtube.com/GerwickNet. That's the URL. Once again, subscribe to the channel. Like our videos. We definitely appreciate all the support we can get.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks we've done the podcast here with Teddy. And as soon as the podcast concludes, we finish taping. Suddenly there's breaking news, breaking stories across the wrestling world. And last week, we just hung up with Teddy. I'm talking to Frank, just kind of wrapping up our conversation. And Frank says, you'll never believe this. Breaking news. And it was Roman Reigns was suspended for 30 days. Now, obviously, Roman Reigns worked the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. He lost the title to Seth Rollins, which, of course, was eventually won by Dean Ambrose. They announced him for Battleground the next night on Raw, a three-way coming up on July 24th. And our speculation when we did a quick update for our podcast as well as the YouTube channel was, what does this all mean? When did they learn of the suspension? And, you know, where do they go from here? Will Roman Reigns be pulled out of the Battleground pay-per-view? And I guess they started to address that last night on Raw, where it appears that Roman Reigns will be a part of the three-way match for the WWE Championship with Ambrose and Rollins coming up at Battleground. You know, Teddy, I guess the speculation is that they knew of the suspension prior to the weekend, or maybe during the weekend they got the test results on Roman Reigns. They knew that he had failed, and yet they went ahead and let him wrestle Sunday night at the pay-per-view and then announced him for the next night leading into the Battleground pay-per-view on July 24th. Teddy, my thought is if they knew about the suspension ahead of time, they knew that he failed the drug test, you know, why would they allow him to, A, compete on Sunday night in a match to drop the championship and then obviously go ahead and book him for the next night for Raw and then announce him for a three-way coming up at the Battleground pay-per-view?
Well, you know, I really can't answer that question. I really don't know why that they did that, you know, if they knew that he had already failed the drug test. Only thing I can say is maybe they knew and maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I guess it's just the way that the way business is being done. You know, that's how they do business. That's all I can tell you. But like I said, I don't know why they did that. I mean, you know, the guy was advertised for the pay-per-view. Definitely Vince wanted him to show up and be there, and plus they, you know, needed him for their TV. So maybe there's a time limit on when they can start the suspension. I don't know. I don't know all the rules and all the, you know, the ins and outs of that drug test, but like I said, I just can't answer that question.
I think the real question here is, Frank, on the short term, is it seems pretty obvious to me they learned of the test results over the weekend, and yet they made the decision, go ahead, let him wrestle. He had to lose the title, obviously. They're taking the title off him. So it almost means, when you think about it, that the title means more than the wrestler, because obviously if the guy failed a drug test, you're still putting him in the ring to not only work a match, but work a full match, a 20-minute match. Most of that match was dominated early by Roman Reigns, and then obviously he was going to lose the championship. And then if you also know that ahead of time, you know, why book him for a three-way on the next pay-per-view? Because I think it was pretty obvious watching Raw last night, Frank, is that he's not going to be around for the next 4 weeks, and they have 4 weeks to build up a three-way with one-third of the party missing.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic in building up a three-way match in the first place. Why they even signed this match to begin with if they already knew ahead of time that Roman Reigns had, you know, failed the drug test. I think the only way that they could have done the situation right was to do an injury angle to write Roman off of TV. But they went the route here of saying, okay, this guy basically failed the drug test. This is the reason why he's not going to be around. And I, you know, I hear a lot of people on the internet saying, you know, they should have taken Roman Reigns out of the match at Money in the Bank. He should have dropped the title right then and there. And I just think with WWE, not that I'm trying to defend them, but I think what they were trying to do here was simply give the fans what they advertised that they were going to do. They built this show up as being the biggest Money in the Bank pay-per-view of all time. And they had the dream match on here with AJ Styles and John Cena. The WWE Championship match with the returning Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. And they went out there and they delivered that, and Roman Reigns got beat clean in that match. I think right then and there, it should have been the end of Roman Reigns. There should have been no more mention of Roman Reigns. There should have been no reason why Roman came out there the next time on television and they booked that three-way match. I think the way they're going to be able to do this is they're probably going to just have to tell the story obviously without Roman, and maybe just play video footage of the Shield and all that other stuff to make the story get going here. But I'll tell you right now, I think that if WWE brings Roman Reigns back as a babyface in the situation and tries to gain sympathy from the crowd, I think that would be a huge mistake here. I think that this is the time now, since he failed this drug test, and you see pretty much that this guy is not the guy who you thought he was. Now it's time to turn Roman into a heel when he comes back.
I mean, it's real simple. I mean, they know that the people already know what happened. They already, you know, it's out there. He failed the drug test. They know the suspension is for 30 days. The people know when the suspension is up, he's able to come back to work. So that's obvious. And that's the way it's going to be. So that's why I think, you know, they're not even really worried about it. Everybody knows. I don't think they would have worked the injury, because eventually you're going to find out that he failed the drug test. So then they're going to look at it and say, well, no, that ain't, he's not really hurt. He failed the drug test. So I think they probably just did the right thing. That's the way it works. He's out for 30 days. The suspension will be up before the next pay-per-view, and he'll be back in action.
What do you guys think of allowing him to work the next pay-per-view? Because obviously he's in the main event on the next show. He was the former champion. He loses that Money in the Bank. 30-day suspension. They knew that he had failed the drug test while he was the champion. And yet, to me, it feels like they're still rewarding him. Yeah, we're taking you off television for 4 weeks. You're not around to take any bumps. But on July 24th, we expect you to be in the three-way at Battleground, challenging for the WWE Championship. And to me, Teddy, I think it just sends the wrong message. Why not just take him off? Battleground is kind of the B pay-per-view. It's not a main pay-per-view. It's not SummerSlam. It's not WrestleMania. So take him off this show and then maybe start fresh with him in August.
Well, I mean, that's probably the right way to do it. But, you know, I don't think their slogan is what's best for business. So I think what's best for business is the way that they're doing it right now. So that's how they're going to look at it. You know, it's all about business.
You know, if it's best about business, they've put a lot of stock in this WWE wellness policy that we protect wrestlers. We know we protect wrestlers from chair shots and being more receptive to precautions in the ring for head injuries and such. And yet here's a situation, and I don't know specifically, you know, everything involved with the drug test, you know, what he tested for. But to me, if you send somebody in the ring that failed a drug test, what does that say to Seth Rollins? What does that say to the talent to say, hey, you know what? It's more important we get this championship off of Roman Reigns than, say, Seth Rollins, who just got back from an injury. He's in the ring against somebody who has failed a drug test. I think that's a bit hypocritical from WWE when it seems like they are taking the necessary precautions to protect talent in the ring. But at the end of the day, they put somebody in the ring that failed a drug test against somebody who just returned from injury. I'm not sure that was the most safe way to do things.
Well, whether it was safe or not, you know what I mean? A lot of this stuff, there's no explanation. There's really no answer to. It is what it is, and they do what they do. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, it is hypocritical, but at the same time, when I was watching the match here with Roman and Seth Rollins, it was at one point where Seth and Roman were in the corner and they were going to do that powerbomb spot, and Roman Reigns actually protected Seth Rollins when he went down on his knee. Roman had all his faculties there, and I'm not going to sit here and speculate why he failed the drug test and what he got popped for, but I don't really think it was any hard shit, you know what I'm saying?
But would you want to be in the ring against somebody who failed a drug test?
I don't know, Steve.
Well,
but
you got to look at it like this, Steve. You know, there are a lot of guys that failed a drug test, and I was one of them when I was there. You know, I didn't fail any hard stuff. I only failed for marijuana. So there are guys that are working in the ring with guys that failed the drug test every day. So, you know what I mean? I don't think there's nothing that any of those guys taken or took that would be so dangerous that they would not be able to compete. So, I mean, this happens every day.
Yeah, I'm not trying to insinuate he was in the condition of, what was it, Frank, a few years ago, Jeff Hardy against Sting at one of the TNA pay-per-views, when it was pretty apparent that he was in no condition to work. I'm not trying to insinuate that Roman was in no condition to work, but at the same time, he did fail a drug test.
Yeah, he failed the drug test, and he went out there and performed. And I understand what you're saying there. You know, it may not be the same, but that's anybody in this world. I mean, there's people out here right now. I can get in my car right now and go somewhere, and there could be some asshole out there that's high out of his mind that can hit me. You know what I'm saying?
WWE is putting out this policy that they're protecting the wrestlers. They announced it on their website that this guy was suspended. We know about it. They had to acknowledge it on television, but at the same time, they still went ahead with the match. I mean, like you said, they could have easily done an injury angle. Roman is injured earlier in the show. He can't wrestle, and somehow Rollins or Ambrose ends up with the championship. But yet he worked a full match on the show.
But like I was saying to you, Steve, you know what I mean? They can't afford to do that, to come up with an injury when they already know that the guy failed a drug test, because that's going to come out. So when that comes out, then the people are going to look at it right away and say, no, he wasn't injured. Here's why he's out. He's out because he failed a drug test. So that's really going to look bad on the WWE to do that, and that's why I think they didn't do that. They just got to tell the truth. It is what it is.
But I also read, too, that Vince was going to try to sweep this thing under the rug here with Roman Reigns. I think it all comes down to this. Is the wellness policy is there to protect the wrestlers and all that, that's all fine, but when it comes to certain people, they handle it certain ways. So if you got Roman Reigns here, who was supposed to be the guy, who's supposed to be, you know, the new face of the company, quote unquote, even though we know that's John Cena, then they're going to look at him differently than they would say look at an Adam Rose or look at anybody else who would fail that test. So I think that's what it comes down to. I think, once again, it was simply put, they wanted to give the fans what was advertised. Now, I'm going to say that he worked the match at Money in the Bank. That's fine. He dropped the championship. That's fine. Nothing happened in that match that was unsafe. What I don't agree with them doing is booking him in the match the next night on Monday Night Raw when they already know that the guy is going to be gone for 30 days. I don't agree with that at all. I think that was stupid. That right there was a bad choice. But as far as him working the match at Money in the Bank, I don't really have a problem with that. They had to get the belt off of him some way. And I think if you would have done it, like Teddy saying, if you would have done an injury angle and then it comes out a couple of days later, the guy felt a drug test, that's stupid. That would make no sense at all.
Well, you know, Frank, I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I thought originally maybe they found out on Tuesday morning. Maybe he failed a drug test Tuesday morning. Surprise drug test Tuesday morning, SmackDown taping. We get to the show. We pop you. We got you. Okay, so you already worked the pay-per-view. We already announced you for money the Battleground pay-per-view, okay? But no, they found out over the weekend, and they still, A, let him wrestle, and B, announced him for the show.
The wellness policy, like I just said, it works certain ways for certain people. If John Cena failed a wellness policy violation, we probably wouldn't even hear about it because he's John Cena. Now, with Roman Reigns here, I have to admit, when they announced this on WWE.com that he failed the drug test, I was actually surprised that they even announced it to begin with, that he failed, because he's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be the face of the company, like I said. So, like I said, it's different rules for different talent, and it shouldn't be that way, but that's how it is, and that's in any endeavor in life. Certain rules for certain people. That's pretty much how it goes. Roman Reigns is a main event level superstar, and pretty much what he's going to get right now is he's getting a slap on the wrist for the situation. He gets 30 days off. He's losing, that 4 weeks worth of pay. He comes back. Hey, whatever plan they have for Roman, that plan is probably going to continue. You know, it's not going to be the end of Roman Reigns here. The guy made a mistake here, and that's pretty much was it. He owned it. But you own it after you got caught doing whatever you did. You know, that's when you own the shit. So he felt the test, he lost the belt. Okay, well, when he comes back, Vince is going to say, okay, this guy here obviously is very beneficial to the company. We've invested millions and millions of dollars into him. We still got to push him. We just can't derail Roman Reigns because he got popped for whatever he got popped for. We got to continue on here. We got the brand split coming up. We got to go into this direction, go in that direction. I'm telling you right now, we have not seen the last of Roman Reigns as a champion. It's just, I don't see it. You know, and I've went back and forth on this, and I've come to it right now. It's just, he's going to be the brand, whatever brand he goes into, he's going to be a big part of that brand. He's going to be a huge focal point of that.
Going to have a lot of heat on him for testing positive during a title reign. What does this mean for his future? I agree with Frank. I think eventually he'll probably get another run with it. I mean, heck, everybody has three or four title runs at some point, but I think it's going to be a long time before we see Roman Reigns with that championship again.
Some of the things that Frank said, I certainly agree with, but I really don't think that they're going to put that title back on him. I could be wrong, you know what I mean, but I really don't think so. But then again, maybe they would, you know what I mean, because I feel like maybe if they didn't put it back on him, then people would see through that, and then they would say, well, that the reason why they're not doing it because he failed the drug test, and they're mad at him about that. So they probably don't want to, you know, put it out there that that's the reason why that they're not putting it back on him. So there could be a possibility that he could get the title back. I don't know. But I'm saying, you know, to Roman, you know, I love him to death, a great, nice guy, you know, but if this is your second time, you know what I mean, you have to know, you know, what you put in you, and you have to know the consequences, especially that you're going to be random tested. So if you fail the second time and then you suspend it, which now you know that if you fail again, your third suspension is you're fired. So, you know, Roman is right now walking on eggshells. So let's hope that, you know, he learns his lesson from this. He stays clean and he continues to pass these drug tests. And then I feel like maybe Vince will probably let up on him and maybe put him back out there as a big-time player. But we'll just have to see what happens.
Of course, Frank, if he becomes world champion again, it's going to be either SmackDown or Raw. It's not going to be the WWE Championship. So it seems like maybe that would improve his chances because it looks like eventually they're going to have two champions.
Well, last night on Raw, they kept referring to Dean Ambrose as the WWE champion and no longer the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It was on all the graphics on Raw last night. So it's very obvious to me that they are intending on bringing back the big gold belt. So it looks like, you know, we're going to see the return of big gold in the World Heavyweight Championship for the SmackDown brand coming up shortly.
You know, too, Teddy, with a 30-day suspension, it should exclude him from the draft. When SmackDown goes live on July 19th, they're doing the WWE draft. By my math, he should be excluded from that because he's a suspended superstar. So do you anticipate him being part of that draft?
Yes, I do. yeah, I definitely consider him being a part of that draft. I mean, you know, like you're saying, what should be done, but that's just not how it works sometimes. So I certainly look forward to seeing him being part of that draft. I'm telling you.
What do you think, Frank? Think he'll get drafted on the 19th?
He probably will, but he shouldn't. I think that he should be, like you said, excluded. He should be inactive for the draft.
Yep.
And that's the way you bring him back, is that the guy comes back, but he's not on any particular brand. He has to decide which brand he wants to be on, kind of like what I said last week when they brought back Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2002, the very first draft. Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out of WWE after WrestleMania 18, after the match with Scott Hall. You know, he kind of faded away a little bit. They brought him back when Ric Flair became general manager of Raw. Mr. McMahon was general manager of SmackDown. And they wanted to have Austin services. Eventually, Austin chose to stay on Raw. Same thing can happen here with Roman Reigns. You bring Roman back, whoever the GM is for SmackDown is out there trying to get him to come over. Whoever's running Raw tries to get him to stay on Raw. And you go from there. But they have to bring Roman back in a heel at this point. There is going to be no sympathy. I'm telling you right now, I saw a meme that said that Roman Reigns granted more wishes in one day than John Cena has his entire career. That's how people felt when they found out that Roman Reigns got suspended. I'm not going to come on here and say, yeah, I'm glad the guy got suspended and I'm glad he's gone. I don't really understand it right here. I don't really understand the hatred and the heat like that. It's that big and that's nuclear that you wish this guy to be gone that badly. I just don't understand it at all, man. I don't get that. That's where people take this wrestling shit a little too seriously. The guy made a mistake, just like I've made mistakes, like you've made mistakes, like Teddy's made mistakes. You made a mistake, and you move on from it. That's pretty much all you can do here. So that's why I say that when he comes back, he's probably going to have a meeting with Triple H, probably going to have a meeting with Vince. He's going to smooth it all over, and they're going to continue on the plans of whatever they have with the guy. That's just pretty much what it is. Roman Reigns, whether people like it or not, whether they want to admit it or not, even though the houses are down, even though, you know, the ratings are down, he's still a hot commodity to WWE. If he wasn't, then he wouldn't be in this match going on into Battleground right now, even though he's not going to be there for the next couple of weeks building the match. If he wasn't a hot commodity, they would have took him out of the match like it was nothing. And they still got him in it, obviously.
I don't know. By him being allowed to choose which brand he's on, it's almost like giving you like a free pass to say, okay, you watch the draft, you see who goes to which show, and then you're allowed to pick what show you're going to be on. And I know it's a storyline situation, not like Roman can just decide he wants to be on Raw or SmackDown, but from a character perspective, if Raw's top heavy, maybe I go to SmackDown. If SmackDown's top heavy, maybe I stay on Raw. It seems like almost in a way, it'd be better to get suspended and then be allowed to choose what side you want to be on.
Well, that's exactly what they did with Steve Austin back in the day. You know, that's the point. They let Austin come in after the draft, and then he was able to decide which brand he wanted to work for. I think that's the best way, creatively, you can bring him back to the fold. But once again, you got to turn Roman heel at this point. He has to be a heel now. He's been exposed. He's not the guy that people thought he was. He's not the, you know, this clean-cut, baby-faced superhero guy. No, this guy has a flaw. He failed a drug test. Why not use that to your advantage? People want to be, you know, Roman Reigns. You know, people hate Roman Reigns so much. Okay, well, why not let him be a heel? I even said it many times in this show. I don't even think a heel with, you know, Roman Reigns would even work right now. I think it could work now. Now that he's failed this drug test and he's been exposed and he's got an issue, why not use it? You can turn that negative into a complete positive.
And it wouldn't be hard to do because in the eyesight of the majority of the wrestling fans, he's already a heel.
Yeah, I don't see how he could bring it back as a babyface at this point, but they do what they want to do anyway, so.
Well, they do what they want to do, Steve. It's just like with Seth Rollins. I mean, anybody who watched the WWE 24 special with Seth Rollins can agree that bringing Seth Rollins back as a heel was a big mistake. This guy should have been a babyface. This guy had multiple knee injuries. He came back from that, and he got one of the biggest pops at Extreme Rules, and yet you bring him back as a heel. Seth Rollins should be a babyface right now. That's pretty much the way it should be going.
And it's not like they don't need him. Seth, they don't have any babyfaces. You know, I mean, they still got Cena. He's a babyface, but he's not the babyface he was 4 or 5 years ago. So it ain't like they don't need Seth Rollins to be a baby. They need a babyface to represent the company.
They do the draft on the 19th. You still have the Battleground pay-per-view on the 24th. And then I guess they'll start deciding if they're going to split the championship up, which seems to be the way they're going to go. Say Ambrose is successful on the 24th. He stays on Raw. Then maybe Rollins can move over to SmackDown, and then they maybe go in a direction with him, or AJ moves over to SmackDown. I don't know, Frank, what do you think they're going to do with this title situation? What are you kind of anticipating, you know, kind of going in? I know we're weeks away from it, but what do you think they're going with this championship situation?
I mean, the obvious thing is they're going to bring back the big gold belt. I mean, like I said before, they have taken out World Heavyweight out of the WWE Championship, and they, you know, they've just called it now the WWE Championship. So obviously they're going to bring the big gold belt back. The way, though, is how do you reintroduce the big gold belt? And I think that it should be some type of a tournament. If they bring that belt back to WWE and they bring it on SmackDown, they should have a tournament with the SmackDown competitors to see who's going to be the Royal Champion. I don't want to see a situation here where somebody comes out with a briefcase and they just hand somebody a belt, like they did with Bischoff and Triple H back in the day. I think that it should be earned. So I think that you should have a tournament. Let's say you got Seth Rollins, you know, drafted to SmackDown. You got AJ in the club drafted to SmackDown. Well, if you want to do a tournament there in the last two people, AJ Styles or Seth Rollins, I think that's a pretty goddamn good match. So why not go in that direction? But I think that eventually they're going to bring the big gold belt back, and you're going to probably see Rollins and Styles and maybe Cena go over to that side while you got Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose on Raw.
If Teddy Long was still running SmackDown, how would you determine a new champion, playa?
Well, God, I tell you, boy, that's a hard one. I kind of agree with Frank. If I was really running SmackDown, you know, I'd have Seth Rollins being the face of Monday Night Raw. I definitely would do that. And I would definitely take Roman and have him over at SmackDown. I would like to do that, you know, and maybe, like you say, turn him heel and start him all over again.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Gerwick Report podcast. More right after this.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gerwick.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gerwick.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
Check out the official t-shirt store for Gerwick and the Gerwick Report podcast at prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. 8 great designs and all t-shirts are just $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Or just visit ProWrestlingTees.com and search Gerwick to find our store.
Bloopers. 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 Bloopers.
To hear of his studying past, you know, let me do that part again. To hear about his studying, I'm trying to remember what I want to say, and I'm getting flushed over my words. So,
we'll just keep it in there.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan would go on there. Jesse Ventura, I mean, usually he'd play up to the baby faces and kind of would, you know, poo-poo the baby faces. Pessimistic about the future. I mean,
West Texas rednecks, etc. Was but a
where was the service again?
Portland, Oregon, where Piper was from.
Right. Where was it? Oh no, not where was it? We'll edit all that out.
And in some ways, kind of a backhanded slam against TNA.
So it's kind of the same thing when I think of the you know. Let me do that part again, because I want to erase all the D.
And sometimes discussing...
That's censorship. Let me do that part again.
You are now tuned in to the GRP with Steve Gerwick, Frank D, and former SmackDown and ECW General Manager Teddy Long.
And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
Let me holler at you, player. You know, what we have here is another Theodore Long 5-minute white boy challenge.
Oh, no.
You feel me? But first of all, let me say something about one of Boston's most famous athletes, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird?
You know, some of you might put Larry Bird on a pedestal. Some of you might look up to him as a god. But don't act, because you know as well as I know that if Larry Bird had been a black man, he would have never been thought of. You feel me? And not only that, Larry Bird, Whitey wouldn't have never given him a chance. Believe that. But you see, Theodore Long, you know, I'm about equal opportunity. I'm not like Whitey. I believe in giving a man a chance.
We were talking about in the last segment there with the situation with Raw last night. Looks like they're going to position themselves to have two championships, maybe bring back the gold belt. But one thing I saw on the internet is a lot of buzz about who this mystery opponent was going to be for The Miz. We were just speculating before we did the show. It could have been a good spot to debut Finn Balor. They didn't go in that direction, and they brought back Kane. Kane was the mystery opponent for The Miz. What'd you think overall, Frank, of Monday Night Raw last night?
Well, you know, Steve, I see a lot of people on the internet being critical of the show last night. I actually thought that last night's show was actually pretty decent. I mean, we got Seth Rollins versus John Cena. We got Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles in the main event. We had a pretty good segment there with Chris Jericho in the highlight reel with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who say at Battleground it's going to be the end of their feud. And as far as Demon Kane taking on The Miz for the IC Championship, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that spot right there could have been used for somebody else, but they weren't going to take the belt off The Miz, so it doesn't matter. You know, the Intercontinental Championship right now doesn't mean anything, so it didn't really bother me as much. I mean, Finn Balor posted a photo of the TitanTron earlier in the day for Monday Night Raw. People thought that he was going to be on the show. I didn't for 1 minute think that Finn Balor was going to debut last night, because he's been doing this for a while now where he trolls the internet and says, oh, I'm at this location or I'm at that location. And people start thinking the guy is going to come on the show, and he doesn't show up. So I didn't really think much of it when they said mystery opponent. I just figured that it was going to be somebody already there. And then when I saw Kane Okay, well, it makes sense. It's going to be Kane. Like I said last week, I'm not the biggest Dean Ambrose fan, but I will say that I like the way that he handled the situation last night on Monday Night Raw. I think that they're trying to build him up as a strong champion that everybody wants a piece of him, and I think that it was a pretty decent show. I really do. I don't really think that him and AJ Styles had the best match they could have had, but nonetheless, it was an entertaining show. I thought it was pretty good. And usually most weeks Raw kind of drags. I didn't really feel a drag last night watching the show, and it could be because I was fast forwarding it, but I didn't really feel a drag.
Was Kane buried last night?
I don't think so, man. And I don't know. I don't really think so. No, I don't think anybody was quote unquote buried last night. I thought everybody did their parts. But if I'm going to be critical about something here, where it's something that I don't particularly care for, I don't particularly care for Natalya as a heel. And the original story I'm hearing right now is that role was originally supposed to have been Becky Lynch turning heel, which I think would have been a better move. Because everybody seems to want to turn on Becky Lynch. So I don't get that. So I'm not really digging that part of the show. I like where they're going here with the women's division. It looks like they're going to be, starting a feud up here with Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the championship at some point. But other than that, Dana Brooke, please get off the TV.
What did you think of Monday Night Raw last night, Teddy?
I thought it was a pretty decent show. It wasn't bad. Just a few things, I didn't get a chance to look at because I wasn't able to watch the whole show, but I did watch the majority of it, and I thought it was a pretty decent show. But I have to kind of agree with Frank on the heel turn from Natalya. Natalya, that just ain't her. That's not doing anything for me. I think the only thing that's really wrong with that is maybe it's her mic skills, you know what I mean? She doesn't have that ability to talk and get herself over as a heel. That has a lot to do with it. But other than that, I thought it was a pretty decent show, but there were some parts there I didn't kind of get. But other than that, it was okay.
Frank, there's been some speculation online about Natalya's future. And it seems odd now they're kind of giving her a push because there's some speculation that when her contract is up, she may not re-sign. And we know what happened with Tyson Kidd, and his future is very much up in the air. So is it odd to you that maybe they're pushing her right now when potentially she could leave the company?
I'm not understanding the reason why they're pushing her. That's the thing. Like, Natalya's always been there, but they've never had her as a focal point of anything up until now. So I'm not understanding where that – I don't get that at all. I don't – if that's what you're asking me, I don't understand it. When there's a lot of other ladies that they could be pushing. So why are they wasting their time here with Natalya? I'm not going to knock Natalya and say that she's, bad or anything. It's just I'm not feeling her. It's just out of all the women's wrestlers they have on the roster, she's more the most bland I've seen. That's what it is. And I think one of the things also that bothers me, and it's not her fault, it's WWE's fault, is that they always bring up the fact that Bret the Hitman Hart is her, her uncle.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
But they're never bringing up her father, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They never talk about him. Do any one of you two know why that might be?
No, I don't.
I've noticed that too, Frank, and I don't know the backstory of it. At last I knew, Jim was still on good terms, but you're right. They always emphasize Bret. Maybe it's purely because Bret Hart was a bigger star than Jim Neidhart.
Well, obviously, I mean,
he's part of the Hart dynasty. He's Neidhart, but I know he's married into the family, but obviously Bret is one of the biggest stars in the wrestling business, period.
Yeah, but they mentioned that Money in the Bank that, when Natalya and Becky Lynch did the heart attack, they were like, yeah, that move made famous by the Hart Foundation. It was her uncle, Bret the Hitman Hart, and who else? They didn't mention the other part of the tag team. So that's,
and
that's
her daddy.
So that's what I'm getting at here. It's like all the appearances by Bret Hart with Natalya, but they're like, okay, well, hey, here's Natalya with her father and her uncle, the Hart Foundation. They never do that. It's just always Bret.
Maybe Anvil hasn't signed his Legends deal yet.
Well, he hasn't signed something because remember a couple of years ago, Pro Wrestling Tees tried to have a store for Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and WWE shut it down because they said they put out Jim the Anvil Neidhart merchandise, which I haven't seen any, but they said they do that, so they shut his store down. So he had to have signed something.
Well, I don't know. I never even heard anything about him having one of those legends deals. You know what I mean? Because when you got one of those legends deals, they basically use you, especially at WrestleMania, you know, for fan access. So, I don't know when I've even heard of them even calling Jim Neidhart back to do anything. You know, so they just don't sit around and give you that money every week for nothing. You know, they'll find, you know, they're going to use you at WrestleMania and plus maybe SummerSlam. That's another fan access. And then they'll use you sometime to go out and just promote some of the pay-per-views before they, you know, before they're up and coming pay-per-views. So, you know, my opinion, I don't think he signed anything.
What do you think, Teddy, in terms of Natalya's future? Because her contract reportedly is up soon. There's speculation she may leave. Certainly, she's been there a long time, has been used kind of seldomly over the last couple of years, but we know what happened with Tyson Kidd. Do you anticipate her re-signing, or do you think maybe it's time for her to, you know, find employment somewhere else?
Well, Natalya, you know, she's a sweet girl. She's a real, real nice girl. And I think, you know, with her, I think if they want to re-sign her, I think she will. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, you know, I don't see her leaving a nice payday, but in other words, I mean, she could. That could happen. But I think, you know, she, like you say, she's been there a real long time, you know what I mean? And they, you know, they pushed her, and then they brought her back down, then they put her back up there. So it could be where it's maybe time for her to go on and move on to something new and something better. But like I said, I think if they want to re-sign her, I believe she'll re-sign.
The only thing I can think of, Frank, is maybe they're just giving her a little push and see if what the reaction is and see if maybe she's worth re-signing at this point.
I mean, that could very well be the way that they're doing things. They also could be getting her strong because they, once again, they're going to have a brand split here, so they want to have, you know, viable top contenders for the women's championship. That kind of makes me wonder, are we going to have two women's champions, Steve?
Oh, jeez. Well, how many girls do they have?
I think, you know what? They're going to be calling up a lot of more talent from NXT. I'm hearing rumors that there's supposed to be 12 call-ups from NXT. So they have a lot of women down there right now at the Performance Center. So I think they could pull it off if they wanted to.
What do you think, Teddy? You think a women's division could work on both shows at the same time?
If they want it to work, it can work. That's if that's what they want to do. You know, if they want to do that, then they'll make it work. They'll do the stuff that, you know, they need to do to make it work. So, yeah, I think it'll work if that's what they want.
I don't know. It just seems like that'd be really watering down that division. I mean, I know they have, like, Bayley, and they have they've just signed a couple of different young divas to be a part of the NXT developmental system. And I know they have definitely signed more women than they have in the past, Frank, but I'm not sure I would split up the divisions at this point and go with a Raw women's division and a SmackDown women's division.
You know, I wouldn't do that either, but like Teddy said, if they wanted to do it, they could do it, and it could be successful. I mean, like I said before, they have a lot of ladies that they can do it with. They could do it if they want to, and it may happen. I don't really know how they – I mean, if you have two world champions and you have the women's champion, if the women's championship – is this going to be on both shows? So I mean, if you want to put it like this, are they going to treat the women's championship like they do the WWE championship at this point?
Then that's going to make me think, are they going to do two versions of the tag team championships as well?
Well, they might do that, Steve. You might have the World Tag Team Champions. You might have the WWE Tag Team Champions. You can have the Cruiserweight Tag Team Champions. You can have the Trios Tag Team Champions. I mean, it'll be overkill. You can bring, you know, you have the TV championship. You'll have the European championship.
Hardcore championship.
You can have it all right there.
Give me a break.
You have the old Crockett six-man tag team trophy from back in the day. Bring that back as well. For the New Day, they're the six-man tag team champions. They all can wrestle at the same time.
Yeah, that was kind of weird last night, too, on Raw with the New Day. They came out dressed up like the Wyatt family. And it was very interesting what they're doing with them and the Wyatt. So we might be seeing maybe Xavier Woods leaving the New Day at some point. So I don't know. It's one of those segments where you have to really go back and watch it to believe it.
I know, Frank, you're also very curious today, Tuesday, to see what the Raw rating's going to be. This will be the first show, you know, outside of the fallout of the pay-per-view to see how Dean Ambrose is drawing as WWE champion, but, you know, it seems like it's just a kind of a throwaway couple of weeks here because obviously they're in a holding pattern until they do the draft. So I don't know if they'll put a lot of stock in the rating, but I think it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are once they come in.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not going to – if the rating comes out today and the rating is it's crap, I'm not going to blame it on Dean Ambrose because the rating was high last week because they just came off the pay-per-view, and a lot of people probably didn't watch the pay-per-view because they're watching the NBA Finals. I'm not going to blame it on him. But like you just said there, we're in a placeholder type situation until they do the draft. And then you can really see what they do, you know, with Dean Ambrose as far as his drawing ability with the television audience. Are the people really feeling him as champion? I have to admit, I'm not the biggest Dean Ambrose fan, but it's not like him being a champion is really going to hurt the overall product. I don't really think it is. And I think last night, and put it like this, if I could watch the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, which included Dean Ambrose as a champion out there, and I sat through the whole thing and I watched it and fast-forwarded it, then they must be doing something right.
Well, you know, Teddy, they don't care about ratings anyways, right? So it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's what they say.
We know better than that, don't we?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, Frank, there was a lot of speculation about who was going to be on the cover of the WWE 2K17 video game. And yesterday it was officially announced that Brock Lesnar is going to be on the cover of the video game, and I'm just surprised that so many people are up in arms over who's on the cover of the video game when they haven't even played the video game. We don't exactly know all the features that's going to be in the video game, and it seems like to me, Frank, it'd be more important that what's the content of the video game versus who's on the cover.
Well, you know something, Steve, this kind of happened maybe a week or two ago where the real shitstorm started when it comes to 2K17. It all started when this guy, I forgot his name, but he does a lot of artwork now for WWE. He was at E3, and I guess the original story was that at E3 he was going to, you know, paint the roster members. Like every day there was going to be three new roster members added, and it turned out to be that was false. He was going to paint three people that were going to be, you know, confirmed for the game. So they put John Cena, they put the Ultimate Warrior, and they put Sasha Banks. And a lot of people were pissed off because, like, oh, shit, John Cena made the game? You know? So they weren't too happy with that. Then yesterday, the big shit started happening when it was revealed that Brock Lesnar, who arguably is the biggest star in the company, is going to be on the cover of 2K17. That right there doesn't bother me. What bothers me is I want to know what are they going to do differently with this year's game that they didn't do last year or the previous year. It seems like if anybody out there listening to the show right now who plays the video games like I do, we play the same game every year. It's just an updated roster with, you know, new attires and all that and such. And I'm more, you know, worried about the content of what they're going to do in the game that's different. Are they going to bring back the GM mode? Are we going to have a lot of match types that they took out, put back in? That's what I'm concerned about. I give a damn who's on the cover. You know, are we going to have imported music, you know, brought back into the fray because, you know, 2K16, we can't import any songs anymore. We have to use what they already have. So are we going to change that? You know, I think a lot of people are asking on the internet, too, is Hulk Hogan going to be part of this year's game? Because you had Hall and Nash in 2K16. Are we going to have Hogan there so we can really have the NWO? That's what I'm concerned about. I look at 2K16, NBA 2K16, I was playing that the other day. It's updated with the Cleveland Cavaliers as the NBA champions, and I think that's what they should do with WWE 2K. They should have an updated, you know, every now and then, updated roster of what's currently going on right now in the real-world WWE. So that's what I'm concerned about. I don't give a damn if Brock Lesnar's on the cover or not. Put Brock Lesnar on the cover, they put Ric Flair on the damn cover. I'm more worried about what's in the game.
Yeah, Teddy, you know, from a marketing standpoint, who else are you going to put on the cover? I mean, it seems like, at least at this point, with Brock Lesnar headed into UFC, 200, and him being a part of SummerSlam, he still is your biggest star.
Well, like I said, whoever, you know, makes those decisions, there are people that sit on and they think about it. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that what they did, it seems right to them, and maybe it's right for the company. You know, I'm like, Frank, I don't really, you know, give a shit who's on the cover. You know, what's happening inside that game? Is there any new stuff, or is there any improvement, or is there anything for it to HD and, you know, different ways that you can, you know, play this game and what really makes you feel like you're really in the arena? Because there's so much technology now to, you know, they could do a lot of stuff with those games. So that's what I'm kind of concerned about either. I mean, who's on the cover? That doesn't really do nothing for me.
If Teddy's not in the game, I'm not interested, Frank. So unless they can add him somehow, unlock him or something,
well,
I'm really not interested.
They're not going to add me. I can tell you that right now. I'm not employed in the company. There's no way that they can put me in and involve me in anything. So I definitely won't be on that game.
Well, I guess from a storyline standpoint, Frank, if they don't have GM mode, I guess they don't really have a place for Teddy on the video game.
Oh, they would have a place for Teddy, Steve. It would be Stephanie McMahon running him down. They can have that in the video game because that's what they do.
Is that Barry mode?
Could be.
Oh, yeah, that's Barry mode. That's throwing the dirt on you, brother.
Yeah, it could be. Or the emasculation mode.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. And she does it, you know, not only to Teddy, but she does it to everybody on the show. But nobody ever gets their back. Nobody ever gets their heat back on Stephanie. So, and speaking of Stephanie McMahon real quick, Steve, I think I was telling you this offline. So they sent a survey out about DVDs a little while ago. And one of the DVDs that they mentioned was the Stephanie McMahon story.
Really?
And, yeah, exactly. So we'd have to hear about her humble beginnings in the WWE. What the hell are you talking about? Humble beginnings. Yeah. So who would buy that?
I guess if you can do an Eric Bischoff DVD, you can do a Stephanie DVD.
Hey, listen.
Why not?
Hey, listen. Here's a difference, though. Here's a difference, though. You can't even really compare the two. Here's a guy who almost helped put the WWE out of business, and he's been successful outside of wrestling. Stephanie's been successful in wrestling, mainly due to who her father is. So there's no comparison between the two at all.
Yeah, I can compare them because I don't want to watch either.
Oh, that's your opinion, Steve. I have no problem. I saw the Eric Bischoff DVD preview on the network, so it looks like a pretty good story to me. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't really want to see a Stephanie McMahon DVD, because if you're going to have the Stephanie McMahon story, then are you going to include the stuff about China in the DVD? Probably not. So I don't want to see it. I don't want to see a fluff piece.
Are they going to mention Test?
That's a storyline standpoint.
Even going to bring that up?
Probably not, because like I said, this will be Stephanie's humble beginnings. Of her living in the ghetto and all that shit.
Gotcha.
We'll see what I said there is complete bullshit. Stephanie McMahon in the ghetto.
Yeah.
A self-made woman.
Right.
Doesn't matter what her last name is.
Jump my father into
your
that car. That
up.
Was unnecessary. I can sue
up.
You too.
Up.
You know
go
that?
Go
I'll sue
and
this police department.
Right
I'll own the
you
Brooklyn Police
right
Department.
Right
Dad!
I don't know, Teddy, are people going to buy a Stephanie McMahon DVD? I'm not even sure people are going to buy an Eric Bischoff DVD, but I don't know, is that something that the WWE Universe wants to see?
Well, you know, there's some people, you know, that like Stephanie McMahon, you know, that she has fans out there just like everybody else. So I would say, yeah, there's some people that's going to buy it. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of them, but there are some people that's going to buy it. They like her. They're going to support her.
Stephanie has fans?
Yeah.
She actually does. She does have fans. I'll give her that. She does. Just like Eric Bischoff has fans.
I would say Eric Bischoff would deserve a DVD before Stephanie McMahon, but this is WWE. So what are you gonna do?
Oh yeah, I mean, they've produced it. It's out right now. So I plan on purchasing it. So you know, it is. It is what it is. I mean, the only way I would buy the Stephanie McMahon DVD is if they had nude pictures of Stephanie in the DVD cover. That's the only way I'd buy it.
I was going to say, I was wondering if fans are more into her body than her character.
I would say the body.
Yeah.
You know,
I kind of agree with you.
Stephanie is definitely a MILF. I'll give her that. She is.
You know, we've been speculating on this podcast a long time about CM Punk's future. Will he ever debut in UFC? He will officially debut in UFC 203 in Cleveland, Ohio on September the 10th. He's going to take on a youngster that's 2-0, and you know, we speculated, you know, will he ever debut in UFC? Is he ever going to fight? It looks like he's finally going to fight. And Teddy, are you excited for this fight?
Well, a little bit. I like CM Punk. Me and him are real good buddies, and you know, I can't wait to see him. I definitely want to see his first fight. So yeah, I'm kind of hyped up about it, and you know, I'd like to see it.
I know Frank's very hyped for it.
Steve, honestly, I'm sick and tired of talking about it now, because
I kind of am too.
We speculated about this, and then it was on, then it was off, and it's on, and it's off. I'm tired of talking about it now. So I don't have an opinion of it. You know, if the guy goes out there and fights the UFC and he's successful, great, more power to him. If he goes out there and gets his ass whooped, more power to him again. I don't really give a damn at this point.
You know, I want to mention something because I don't listen to other podcasts, wrestling podcasts, and it's not to toot my own horn or anything like that. I just don't have time to listen to a lot of different podcasts unless Frank says, hey, this is a really good podcast. Maybe you should check this one out. But I did see over the weekend that Y2J Chris Jericho on Talk is Jericho interviewed Nancy Benoit's sister, Sandra. And I went out of my way to check it out, and I would definitely recommend it to anybody out there that certainly knew the situation. You get the family perspective. We've certainly heard WWE's perspective. We've heard speculation on, you know, what could have happened from the Benoit side. We know Benoit's father got involved with the brain and blaming it on the brain injuries and the concussions over the years. But a couple of notes I want to mention here, because I did go back and actually listen to it, and I'll get your guys' opinion on this. I'll just give you an overview here. She says that she doesn't think anyone else was involved other than Benoit. So all those rumors and speculation that there was a third party or Kevin Sullivan, and she actually mentioned Kevin Sullivan by name, who of course was her former brother-in-law, doesn't think anybody was involved but Chris Benoit himself. Supposedly Chris Benoit, who is not a big computer user, Googled, searched how to break a neck the easiest way, which leads to speculation that's how he ended his life, by breaking his neck in the weight room. He brutalized Nancy. Something I don't know if has been widely reported on, but brutalized her on a Friday night and, of course, killed Daniel on Saturday morning. Part of the backstory was that Benoit was feeling a lot of pressure on his career. He wanted one more run as a WWE champion. He felt the pressure. Obviously, he was 40 years old. He was kind of on the backside of his career. He had his WrestleMania moment. And certainly, you get very frustrated. You're at 40 now, and you don't know what the future holds. I remember he was, sent to ECW at some point. So certainly there was a lot of pressure on him. We know about the deaths. They brought up a lot of a discussion on Johnny Grunge, who was a friend of his at the time, somebody that he can confide in. He passed away. There was Sherry Martel, was close to Nancy at the time. There was Ray Traylor. And, of course, we know about his good friend Eddie Guerrero. She brought up that Benoit started a journal writing to Eddie and would just put whatever he did for the day. He would write a little memo to Eddie in his journal to help him deal with that situation. She said that she doesn't fully accept the brain study, since it's not a Harvard study, that the brain damage to Benoit's brain, that he essentially had, an 80-year-old brain. They don't discount it, but they don't fully put full stock in it because of who did the research on the brain. She also mentioned, I thought was kind of surprising, she actually mentioned the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, every year it comes up, you know, Chris Benoit for the Hall of Fame, and she says, no way, they're never going to do it. And she also brought up Frank. We'll get Frank's opinion first here. Also brought up the footage situation and his kind of place in history. You know, how essentially right after this happened, he was basically written out of the history books. We know a lot of his matches kind of disappeared. And she said that the family had nothing to do with that. They never put pressure on WWE to, you know, write Chris Benoit out of the history books. That certainly they understand the decision and they really support it, obviously, because she in no way wants to see a Chris Benoit match. But I was really surprised, Frank, overall, because she was close to Chris Benoit at some point. Obviously, that was her brother-in-law. They had times together. They traveled together. She would make DVDs for him to work out. And I was a little surprised. I don't know if I could personally do it if somebody murdered my family, even if it was somebody that I was close to at one time, to even say glowing things about, but she was able to do it. It was a very compelling interview, and I would definitely check out Talk is Jericho podcast. But, you know, Frank, I was really surprised they brought up, as I said, the writing him out of the history books and also the WWE Hall of Fame, which, of course, comes up every year.
Yeah, you know, they're never going to put Benoit in the Hall of Fame. I think pretty much everybody knows that now. I didn't listen to it, but I read some of the transcripts from the interview, and just hearing that he brutalized Nancy, brutally murdered her, I had never heard that before, so that was a new thing there. As far as the situation with the video footage, there was a point in time after this happened that WWE would remove segments with Chris Benoit in them out of DVDs, and, like, you know, if you look in a record book right now, Randy Orton defeated Question Mark at SummerSlam 2004 to win the championship. They don't tell you who it was. His stuff is intact on the network. It always has been. A lot of the times they said they were going to put up a disclaimer before any of his matches, and they really don't do that. It's hit or miss. It's every now and then you'll see a disclaimer put up with anything that's involving Chris Benoit. I'm going to put it like this. Benoit was a hell of a performer, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sit back and watch his matches. I just can't do it. I haven't brought myself up to do it at that point. I mean, I have the Chris Benoit story DVD from WWE that they released years ago. I got that over here. And other than that, I just don't really want to see anything with Chris Benoit. I can't watch it myself. I mean, there's people out there that says, well, I can separate the man from the wrestler. I really can't do that. I can't do it. So my feeling is that it's a terrible situation all the way around here. And I don't think we're ever really, truly ever going to know why he did it.
Yeah, Teddy, you were there, obviously, at the end of Chris Benoit's life. There was all kinds of speculation about, you know, him switching brands. He was going to be a trainer. I actually heard during the podcast where Nancy actually designed a logo for a wrestling school. Apparently, in the Atlanta area, there was going to be a Chris Benoit wrestling school after he retired. It may have been resentful of that because he certainly thought at 40 years old he still had a lot to offer. He had no other training. That was his life. Wrestling was his life. And now all of a sudden it seemed like maybe it was starting to slip away. He was now no longer a main event player. He was just kind of there. And, you know, Teddy, you were there at that time. Did you ever really see a change in Chris Benoit that maybe could have possibly led him to the dark side?
No, I did not. And I was real close to Chris Benoit and Nancy. In fact, I was a lot closer with Nancy than I was Benoit, because when I broke in the wrestling business back in the 80s, I broke in under Kevin Sullivan, and Nancy was married to Kevin Sullivan at the time. So I learned a lot from Kevin. I traveled with him for at least a year, maybe more. So I was there when the whole, you know, thing started between Nancy and Benoit, when it was supposedly to start as a wrestling angle, but then it turned into something that got for real. But anyway, going back to the question that you asked me, I never did see a change in Chris. Chris was one of the nicest people you could ever meet. And it's like you said, he really loved wrestling. That was his life. Because I remember one time we were overseas, and I was watching his match, and I thought that one time that he went up to do this frog splash that what he used to do, and I just thought that he stayed up on the top rope too long, you know, and nothing major or nothing, you know, just something minor. And when Chris came back, you know, he asked me, he said, you watch? I said, yeah. I said, the only thing I thought, Chris, I said, not nothing major. I said, I just thought when you went up, you was on the top rope too long. You should have came down. And he took that so serious, you know. He's like, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. I felt it, I felt that. You, God damn it, you're right. And he was so mad at himself, you know. And I'm looking at myself, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I hate I even said anything. I didn't know he was going to go off like that. But, you know, he took wrestling real serious, and he was real mad at himself that night for what something that I thought was real minor. He didn't think it was minor. He thought it was major. But other than that, I never saw nothing that would have gave me any inkling that he would have committed such a horrible crime like he did. I never saw that.
And he never sensed that his brain had been damaged from all the headbutts in the ring or from all the blows to the head, because it seems like that's the underlying story, was that, you know, he was a different person now. He had this 80-year-old brain. He was a different person. Did you ever sense that with him?
No, I did not. And I rode with him and Nancy a long time. I never sensed anything like that. Even after that, you know, after, you know, him and Nancy got married and everything, you know, when he started, you know, he came to work with the WWE and I was there, you know, he was still, you know, the same guy that I knew in WCW, the same still nice guy. So that's what I'm saying to you. When that happened, it was total shock to me. I would have never, I'd have bet my life that Chris would have never did nothing like that. If you knew him, you would have felt the same way that I did.
And did you ever sense he was under this great pressure? You know, obviously, you get to the age of 40, and he had been in this business for a long time. I think that was his only job. You know, he trained right out of high school. He got right into professional wrestling. You know, was in Canada, Japan, obviously came up through WCW and such to WWE. Did you ever sense that you know, boy, I'm under a lot of pressure here. You know, the company doesn't have faith in me anymore. I'm on ECW. I don't know. Maybe eventually I'll be a trainer. Do you ever sense that pressure? Because I'm sure you've seen it, Teddy. You've been in this business a long time. Certainly when the WWE takes the focal point off of you, there's a lot of pressure to get back to that focal point. You want to be the top guy. You want to be the main player. You want to, you know, you want to headline shows. And certainly at the end of Chris Benoit's life, he certainly was not in that spot.
Well, you know, like I said, to be, you know, to know Chris is a whole different story. You know, Chris was kind of an loner, too. He didn't hang out a lot. He wasn't a guy that went in the bars and stuff. You know, he didn't associate with a lot of the guys too much. I think basically a lot of guys that, you know, that were his close friends and stuff, like Eddie, and when Eddie was in town, or either Johnny Grund, they would always go to his house. I never did go out to the house. I never did go visit him. But the time that I was around him, he was kind of like a loner. You know, he talked, had a great time with you, but at the end of the day, you went your way, Chris went his way. So, you know, I never thought he was under any pressure, and he never showed any signs.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend people check this podcast out. And I guess one of the saddest parts of it was that Nancy and Sandra were sisters. They were 10 years apart. Daniel was the only child that Chris and Nancy had. He was murdered, and Sandra is unable to have children. So that would be the only grandchildren that Nancy's family could have. So that was really sad when I heard that, and I really feel for that family. But if you have a chance, I think it's on, what, Podcast One, you can check out the Chris Jericho interview and our podcast with Nancy's sister. And it's hard to believe, Frank. I was just thinking the other day, it's what, been about 9 years since that's happened, and still people are always talking about it, because every year the Hall of Fame comes around and says, okay, this is the year they're going to put him in. Let's just end it, Frank. They're never going to put him in. Why even bring it up? And I do see that on social media. Say, hey, I'm a Chris Benoit fan. I'm proud of it. And I'm with you, Frank. I just can't separate the wrestler from the man, because I do hold him responsible. In the end, he ended two lives and his own life.
Well, if anybody out there in their right mind is still talking about Chris Benoit going into the Hall of Fame, it's just never going to happen. So like Steve just said there, let's just stop talking about it at this point. But I want to bring up another murderer here, if we can, real quick, because I'm seeing this on social media right now, and people are bitching and complaining about it, and with good reason. Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Steve, he is going to WrestleCon next year. That's what they're saying out there in Florida. So
wait, I thought he was incapable of standing trial.
Right. So how the hell is he going to WrestleCon next year? That's what's going around. It's not confirmed yet, but that's what I'm reading, is that he's supposed to be going to WrestleCon next year.
Wow.
So if that story is indeed true, I thought the guy's mental faculties weren't there anymore for him to stand trial for what he did back in 83. So how the hell is he going to WrestleCon? It's pretty simple. It's called bullshit. Playing the system is pretty much what it was.
Right.
That's sad. That's really sad on a lot of levels. I hope that's not true, but it wouldn't surprise me.
You never can tell, man. You never can tell. And it's just, like I said, playing the system. Go out there, you don't want to take responsibility for what you did. So, you know, you go out there and you have this situation where you're not mentally capable of standing trial. You don't understand what's going on. But, hey, let's offer him some money to go to WrestleCon. Well, if it's true, shame on the people who offered the money.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Shame on you. I wouldn't book the guy. All right, quickly, we have poll results here from Gerwick.net. Should Roman Reigns be allowed to wrestle at Battleground? 71% say no, 29% say yes, and I think we've voiced our opinions here. I just don't know understand why he's allowed to compete in this match. I understand he's the chosen one or whatever right now, but seems hypocritical to me. And something we've also been talking about here on the podcast, are you a Baron Corbin fan? 61% say no, 39% say yes. Certainly, Teddy, I don't think he's clicking. I don't think he's getting over. What's the best thing for him, a different character, or maybe just send him back to NXT for a while?
Well, maybe a different character, you know, may do him some just. I don't know. I'm with that 61%. I'm really not a big fan of his. It just right now, he just doesn't click. He doesn't really show me anything. So that could be, this could be a two-way thing. You know, he could, they could do it, you know, come up with another character, or maybe they need to send him back down to NXT and, you know, maybe, you know, start out, you know, try him down there, you know, for a while and try something new with him. But right now, I'm like that 61%. He doesn't do anything with me.
And real quickly, going back to Roman Reigns, we actually have some comments here. It says, Feed Me Moron says, Reigns will get another title reign. We have Flashbomb84. It says most likely he'll get another title reign because he is their chosen one. But I like what Wesley Landon says here. He says, top guy or not, Roman Reigns should prove himself when he gets back from suspension in order to become champion again. But I think as we established here, Teddy, it's not necessarily how it works in the company.
No, that's not how it works. And like I said, it's really nothing to really talk about. It, you know, it is what it is.
How long do you think, Frank, before he gets a championship again?
Oh, I think, Steve, he'll get a championship right away. Yeah, it's not going to be a long wait for Roman Reigns to be champion. Like I said before, if Roman Reigns hadn't failed that test, even with the ratings being down, he would still be champion right now. There's no doubt in my mind Roman Reigns would still be the WWE champion right now if he hadn't failed that test. They did what they did because it's a corporate environment now, and they didn't want the backlash from people, so they did what they did, took the belt off him right now. But I'm guaranteeing you, when he comes back, everything will be smooth over, and they'll go ahead and continue with their plans, whatever plan that might be. But, yeah, I agree, he will be champion of whatever brand again one day. There's no doubt in my mind. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
I agree with you as well. Gail Kim, the Hall of Fame, we had some comments here. We went, of course, we thought it was a safe pick, at least I did, from my perspective. It was a safe pick because she's there. She's not planning to leave anytime soon. She doesn't really want to go back to WWE. But Jeff Copeland brought up that James Storm is still on the roster. Why not pick him? He's been there from the beginning, or even Abyss. So maybe Gail Kim wasn't necessarily the safe pick or the logical pick. He would rather see Abyss or James Storm.
You know, this goes back to what I said last week. That, you know, we're not discounting Gail Kim's accomplishments in the business. But when you talk about TNA, there's other people on that roster that's been there longer than her that deserve that honor more than she does. And I agree with this guy here. You know, James Storm comes to mind. Abyss comes to mind. Mike Tenay comes to mind. People who have been with the company since day one. So I definitely agree with that.
And don't forget about Taz.
Taz really didn't do too much in TNA, to be honest with you. He was simply the announcer. Which, I mean, he came in there when they were doing the main event Mafia angle, so he didn't really do too much in TNA. I wouldn't discount it, but when I think about TNA Hall of Fame, I'm talking about people who have been there from the beginning through the trenches, stayed with the company. And, yeah, even though James Storm went to NXT for a little while, he was always a loyal TNA guy. So he's a guy, you know, multiple-time world champion, multiple-time tag champion. Successful runs, as you know, with the tag belts, you know, with America's Most Wanted, with, you know, Chris Harris back in the day, and then you have him with Bobby Roode up towards Beer Money. So, you know, then he was tag partners with Gunner at one point. So, I mean, the guy, you know, I would not have minded at all if James Storm would have been inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. I think it's a deserving honor.
Did they get the bang for their buck here, Frank, with Gail Kim? I think maybe we've talked about this on the last podcast. It just didn't seem like that was. I mean, certainly Gail has her fans, but I think James Storm has more fans, maybe Abyss. I don't know. Certainly they've kind of put him in the doghouse recently, not really pushing him as a main event player. But did they get the bang for their buck by announcing Gail Kim here?
I don't think they did, but it goes back to what I said last week. Why did they only have to induct one person? Why can't they induct multiple people into their Hall of Fame?
True.
You know, it could have been, you know, the headliner could have been James Storm, and then you could have had Gail Kim, you could have had a Mike Tenay. That's what I would have done. You could even put in Jerry Mabarash. He's been there, you know, since the beginning, too.
Hey, let me tell you something. Let me answer this question for y'all real quick. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Well said.
I tend to agree with that. And since real quick, Steve, while we're on the subject of TNA right quick. Question was up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GarrickNet. Monster Brand Man says, how come Panda Energy won't fund TNA anymore? Did Dixie Carter have a fallout with her parents?
Well, you remember a year or so ago, Bob put the kibosh on the checkbook and gave it to Janice Carter, the mother there. So I just think, Frank, they've been trying to dump TNA for a long time, and they, I guess, at least partially found a sucker.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, here's the deal. If I'm Panda Energy and I'm putting all this money into TNA and I'm not getting any return on my investment, why the hell am I going to continue funding a losing entity? I can't do that. So, I mean, I think that's the answer right there, is that they just weren't going to continue to fund this thing. It's losing money. I don't think she had a thought with her parents. I think at one point her mother took over the books for TNA. I think that Dixie pretty much had no power over the money anymore. I think that's what happened there. But as far as the fallout, I've never heard that. So I can't, you know, answer that to be true or false.
Going back to the AJ Styles situation, the interview that he did on the Stone Cold podcast on the WWE Network, we mentioned that he was allowed to say TNA on the WWE Network, but not on the USA Network. Daniel chimed in and said, my guess is that they don't say it on Raw because of the USA Network. They're probably told they're not allowed to say that on the network. Teddy, do you think that's a viable answer to that situation?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because that's the only answer that we're going to get.
What do you think, Frank? Is that the reason they're not mentioning TNA? Is because it's the USA Network and that's a rival, although I guess it's a rival because they're on the cable together, but do you think USA would maybe memo to them to say, don't mention TNA on the WWE programming?
I don't think that's the reason at all, because if that's the case, then they would say the same thing about Ring of Honor. Would Ring of Honor be considered on a rival network? I mean, they're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, right? So then their show is put out all over the country in different markets. So I would think the same thing would, you know, be for Ring of Honor too. So I don't think that's the reason at all. I just think that they don't want to acknowledge him. Because here's the deal. Back in the day, WWE really wouldn't even acknowledge WCW unless they had to. And WCW was owned by, what was it, Time Warner, correct? Time Warner.
Yep.
So Turner Broadcasting. So those were rival networks, bigger networks than Pop TV. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think it's WWE just doesn't want to mention TNA.
I tend to agree with that. And then lastly, we've got a question for Teddy here from Bruce. He says, how was it managing Chris Jericho at World War III in WCW?
Oh, I had a great time with Chris Jericho. I didn't get a chance to manage him too long. They didn't keep us together a real long time. But the time that I was with Chris, I enjoyed working with him, had a great time.
And if you have a question or comment you'd like to leave us here, you can do it at the bottom of the YouTube channel that Frank will plug here shortly. And also, you could email me at betweentheropes@hotmail.com, or I'm on Twitter at Gerwick. And you can also tweet us at Gerwick Report on Twitter. Frank, what's the YouTube channel again?
YouTube.com/GerwickNet is the URL for the YouTube channel. Check out our content on there. Subscribe to the channel, and you get updates on the channel whenever we put stuff up there. And most likely, we're going to have some content coming up shortly for Breaking Raw with Abby Green and Adam Cohn. GRP here with myself, Steve Gerwick, and Teddy Long. So check that out today, YouTube.com/GerwickNet. And any questions for myself, always GerwickReport@gmail.com. That's GerwickReport@gmail.com.
And lastly, TeddyLong.com. And go ahead and plug your social media and your upcoming schedule there, Teddy.
Well, you know, like you said, TeddyLong.com is the website. The Twitter handle is @TeddyPlayAlong. And the Instagram is TeddyLongWrestling. But we're working on the website now, and we're going to fix it where you can just go to @TeddyPlayAlong, and you can go right there and you can get everything. So this month here is going to be pretty slow. I'm going to be just kind of hanging out around the house, just going to the gym, getting little workouts in. Then next month, July the 8th, I'm with Hot Atlanta Wrestling in Riverdale, Georgia. July 16th, I'm going to be down in Valdosta, Georgia. And on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, I'm going to be around Boston, Rhode Island, and I think Boston twice, and Providence, Rhode Island. I'll be around there in July. So I'll keep you updated on all that stuff, and if anything else comes in, you know, different, I'll be letting all the fans know.
Very cool. Definitely, as we wrap here, also, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick, 20% off your total order. You can get a Gerwick Report T-shirt today. Go over there. And also, if you can't, just spread the word about the GRP. Get the word out about the Gerwick Report podcast with Teddy Long. Spread it on Facebook, social media, Twitter. And we always, always appreciate your support here on the GRP.
Now you better believe that.